going to leave Matthew for this morning. The Gospel of Mark, we're going to read from chapter 4, reading verses 26 to 29, the parable of the seed growing. Mark chapter 4, reading verses 26 to 29, and this is God's holy and inspired word. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed in the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe, once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." With our Bibles open on our knees, let's commit this time to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have your word, your spoken, breathed out word in our hands. Father, we want to pray, Lord, now, as we look at this passage in depth, that you would plant the seed of your word in our lives this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. From this passage, we're going to see how God, in his grace, allows the seed of his word to grow in our lives. God, in his grace, allows the seed of his word to grow in our lives. This morning, we have gathered to praise God and thank him for his faithfulness in providing another harvest. We thank God today for fulfilling his promise to us that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. This can be seen in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. The parable of the seed growing is only recorded for us in Mark's Gospel. This parable we're going to look at this morning, you will not find it recorded in any of the other three Gospels. It follows the parable of the sower. Jesus, in the parable of seed growing, is teaching his audience and us how the seed of his word grows in a person's life to produce a spiritual harvest. Jesus is showing us in more depth the result of seed falling on good soil. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God grows in a person's life in the same way as a seed of corn grows. Jesus' point is that it is God who makes the seed of his word grow in our lives, which will lead to salvation, to a spiritual harvest. God in his grace allows the seed of his word to grow in our lives. Let's go through the text. Verse 26 says, "And he being Jesus, said, The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Here Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed on the ground. What is meant by the term the kingdom of God? Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is like a seed. The seed is sown, but its growth outwardly, it looks like a bit of a mystery. Jesus is speaking about how the kingdom of God grows in a person's life. It is the work of God in a person's life. It is God's grace at work in a person's life. This morning, have you ever considered the process from planting a seed of corn to harvesting a field of wheat? It all seems a little bit mysterious. What we do understand is that a field being full of weeds one day will not automatically the next day be a field full of wheat, with ears hanging down, ready to be harvested. We need a farmer to go into the field and to plough it up in preparation for seed time. We then need the farmer to go back and to sow the seed into the ground and cover the seed over with soil. Without this taking place, there cannot be a harvest. Jesus' point is that just as corn needs to be sown by a farmer to bring forth a harvest, God's word needs to be sown in people's lives, in our lives, for there to be a spiritual harvest. We need someone to sow the seed of God's word into our lives. We as a fallen people have wicked and evil hearts that will not naturally turn to God in and of ourselves. We will never get up some morning and say to ourselves, I must turn to God and seek his repentance and believe in the gospel and go forth in living out a life of godliness. We, the reality is, are dead in our sins towards God. It is impossible for us to give ourselves a spiritual life which is holy and glorifying to God. God in his grace sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world on a mission. Mark tells us in Mark chapter 1 verses 14 and 15 what Jesus' mission was. It states, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus' mission was to call people to repentance and to respond and to believe in God. That is why Jesus preached. Jesus came ultimately to die on the cross for our sins. He came to die the death we deserved for our sins. When we repent of our sins and accept and trust in Jesus, this is when our heart responds to the seed of God's word. But for us to respond to the seed of God's word, the seed of God's word has to be sown into our lives. So for a spiritual harvest to take place, the word of God has to be sown in people's lives. If you're here this morning as a follower of Jesus, God gives you and I daily opportunities to build relationships with other people, with people who may even never consider to darken a church door. This morning, are we faithful in taking those God-given daily opportunities? As we build relationships with these people, situations will come along in their lives which they will talk to us about. And that will give us opportunities to sow God's word into their lives. This morning, are you and I faithful sowers of the word of God? God in his grace allows the seed of his word to grow in our lives. Verse 27 tells us that the one who sows the seed then sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. Verse 27 is telling us that it's beyond a farmer's comprehension and control how corn grows. After a farmer sows the seed, he simply gets on with his life. That is his part of the job of completed. The task is done. He has to go away then and wait for it to grow. And a farmer may say, hold on a minute. The months in between, I spray fertilizer to help the seed grow. I spray different chemicals to protect the seed from pests, blight, and disease. Well, yes, that may be so. But the reality is, a farmer does not make the seed grow. A farmer doesn't even know how the seed grows. On Facebook, maybe you've seen this, maybe you haven't. Maybe it's because I'm married to a farmer's daughter that I see it regularly. On Facebook, at times some farmers will have this message on their news feeds. You can't live without a farmer. You can live without a minister. You can live without a nurse. You can live without a mechanic. But you can't live without a farmer, as they provide you with 3 meals a day. Well, I have to be honest with you, I've never sat down as yet to a meal and said, "Thank you, farmer, for this food." Never done that. But in our house, we do this every day. We sit down and we thank God for his faithfulness, his faithful provision in giving us this day our daily bread. But I want you to know this morning that I am thankful to God for the gifts, the skills, the talents and abilities that he's given to our farmers. However, I feel that when a farmer makes this statement that we cannot live without them, I believe that's a very dangerous statement and an untrue statement. I believe that behind such a statement is pride and arrogance. This is what they're really saying. It's all about me. It is I, the farmer, who makes the crops grow. That's not the case at all. The farmer set himself up as if he is God. But in reality, it is God and God alone who makes the crops grow. A farmer doesn't know how a seed of corn will turn into wheat. A farmer cannot command the prosperity of every seed. A farmer does not know why one part of his field grows well and in another part of the field the seed has died. A farmer can't give you the time and date when the shoots of wheat shall appear. A farmer just hopes that it will grow. It's a miracle. It's the work of God. It is God who sends the heat of the sun. It is God who sends the rain. It is God who makes the seed grow. It is God who makes the wheat grow. A farmer's task is to sow the seed. And ultimately, he leaves the growth to the creator and sustainer of life. He leaves the growth to God. Likewise, it is God in his grace that makes the seed of his word grow in a person's life. Paul explains this to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 7. It says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned it to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." God has a sovereign plan to build and grow his kingdom. It is God in his grace that enables an individual to see their need of repentance. It is God who saves. It is God through the work of the Holy Spirit that draws people to himself. As a probationer within our church, I am thankful and humbled that it is God who makes the seed of his word to grow. It is God who saves. It is God alone that makes the seed of his word to grow, to come to life in a person's life. Now that does not mean that I am not to work hard each and every week in preparation to preach and to proclaim the word of God. What did Paul tell Timothy to do? We'll see what he said to him in 1 Timothy 4, verses 13 and 16. It says, "Timothy, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close eye on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Paul told Timothy to devote himself in sowing the seed. In the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, we believe that when one is called of God, so the ordained ministry, they have been set apart by God to sowing the seed. When the seed is sown, we are to have faith and patience that God will allow it to grow by His grace and in His time. That means at night, just like the farmer, we can go to bed and rest and know that God will grow His kingdom as He chooses. We need to trust. We need to trust God that His will be done. James 3, verse 1, teaches us that those who are called to teach will be judged with greater strictness. Sadly, in our society, too many teachers of the Word of God are really not that bothered and concerned about sowing the seed. They're only interested in the ABCs, attendance, buildings, and cash. When this is our main aim, we fail to fulfill the task God has called us to. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain." God in His grace allows the seed of His word to grow in our lives. Verse 28 states, "The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear." What does Jesus mean by the statement, "The earth produces by itself"? Jesus here is telling us that the seed grows when the farmer is away doing other things. The seed grows by the power and authority of God. The seed does not grow overnight. It takes time. It's a gradual process. The right ear of wheat doesn't come the very moment that the seed bursts into life. The corn goes through a number of stages before it's ready to be harvested. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain of the ear. Throughout each of these stages, it's really important to realise that the corn is living, it's alive, it's in a process. For those of us who are here this morning as followers of Jesus, our lives are like a stalk of wheat. Just like a stalk of wheat is in the process, it's in the process to grow and to develop so it's ready for harvest. We as followers of Jesus are in a gradual spiritual growing process to become that individual who desires holiness instead of sin. This is a lifelong process called sanctification. The Shorter Catechism teaches us that sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and we are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. At the moment of our conversion is when the seed of God's word becomes alive in us. At that moment, we were justified because of Christ's death on the cross for our sins. Because of Christ's death, we have received a pardon for our sins. It is through God's grace that we are adopted into his family. We have become a child of the living God. Sanctification is a work that is gradual. It is a work of God's grace. It is a gradual learning to die to sin and to live out a life of holiness. This morning, where are you and I on that process? This morning, once again, the seed of God's word has been planted into each of our lives. Has that word, has that seed taken root in your heart? This morning, are you dead in your sins? Or are you alive in Christ? Are you on that gradual, lifelong process through God's grace? Are you daily following Jesus? Are you daily dying to sin? Are you daily seeking to love God and to live out a life of holiness? If not, why not? What is holding you back? For many of you, this is not the first time that you will have heard the gospel. Why do you continue to refuse to accept the truth of God's word? If God is speaking to you today, can I challenge you to respond to him right now? Don't delay. God in his grace allows the seed of his word to grow in our lives. Verse 29 says, when the grain is ripe, and once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. What is Jesus talking about here? Jesus is saying that no farmer will cut his wheat while it is still green. He waits for the wheat to ripen. He waits for the golden ears of the wheat to hang down. And it's only then that he sends the harvester to cut the wheat, as the harvest has come. Paul tells us in Philippians 1 verse 6 that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus this morning, we can be assured that God in his grace will fully renew and restore us unto himself. He will bring us to completion. But verse 29 also reminds us that there's going to be a judgment. Joel 3:13 tells us this. It says, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go in, tread, for the winepress is full. The fats overflow, for their evil is great. Joel here is speaking of when the day of judgment arrives. The harvest symbols the end of the world. The sickle is put in to gather up all the wheat, those who are in Christ. In the New Testament, Jesus taught that when the final harvest comes, the wheat would be separated from the weeds. Matthew 13:30 says, let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the weavers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barns. Jesus here is reminding us that when the final harvest comes, the wheat, those who are in Christ, will be saved and will receive eternal life. But the weeds and chaff will be burned. This morning, if God was to harvest your soul this very day, would you be saved or lost? Would you be saved or lost? Today, are you ready to meet the Lord of the harvest? I trust and pray that you are. Let's pray. Father in heaven,